The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan, plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small-batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Do you want to go higher, baby? It is time to go higher. It really is. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo live from Dallas at iHeartMedia Studios and KMET ABC News in Southern California. We are here to help each other to feel good and bring positive energy to each and every one of you out there listening. So let's share positive energy and light during these difficult times and give us a call if you feel like it. Ask a question. Tell us your story, how you're getting through this, what's happening in your world. We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 214-787-1190. We have a great show lined out for you today. We have one of my favorite people on the planet who I respect so much on the show, Mary Holland, and Mo Brossette will be coming up here in just a minute. Mary Holland, are you there on the line?
I am. Thank you so much, Bernadette.
Oh my gosh, it's so good to have you on the line. There's so much I want to ask you. So let me read your bio first so people have an understanding of just who they're listening to. Mary Holland, you guys, serves as General Counsel and Vice Chair of the Board at Children's Health Defense. She also serves on several other health and educational boards. She recently left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master's of Arts and her Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. That is so impressive, Mary. Every time I read it, I just think, wow, good for you to get such an incredible education so that you're able to contribute to, especially right now during these times in America. But Mary has worked in international public and private law. She is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic, which I have right here with me, and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. Such an honor to have you on the show today, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you know, I'll start by putting out your website, childrenshealthdefense.org. That's childrenshealthdefense.org. Hold on one second here. Okay, you contributed to an article in Children's Health Defense titled Therapeutics, Now or Vaccines Later. Can you share the message with our listeners?
Yeah. First of all, Bernadette, I just want to express my concern and compassion for all your listeners. We're in a really tough time. It's unprecedented. None of us have really lived through this before. And so I just want to validate that it's a very difficult time for all of us. And it's a time when we all want to come together. One Life Radio, we're one country, we're one government. But we're looking at what the government is doing in this space to try to overcome this coronavirus coronavirus pandemic. And what we see is there's been a lot of preference for looking to the long-term solution, which is being thought of as a vaccine, rather than looking at the short-term drugs that might be helpful now and other things that might be helpful now. And so we wrote an article and we did a video where we, to almost to our surprise, we had some of the most important advocates for vaccines in the country, Dr. Paul Offit, Dr. Peter Hotez, Dr. Ian Lipkin. These are prominent pro-vaccine spokespeople. And all of them are articulating a great deal of caution about COVID-19 vaccines, and they're expressing a lot of skepticism about the timetable that we could come out with a safe vaccine by the fall or even by 2021. Wow. And by contrast, with this long-term hunt for the perfect vaccine, there are these therapeutics that are showing a lot of promise globally, in particular drugs like chloroquine, things like intravenous vitamin C. And the difference, one of the differences between these tried and true drugs and these vaccines is these tried and true drugs are inexpensive, mm-hmm. and they don't have patents on them, and they're not going to go to the, you know, dollar signs on the bottom line of the pharmaceutical industry. And so we're saying, look, you know, the government is representing us, the people. It's not supposed to be representing the financial interests of the pharmaceutical interests, the industries. We really should be prioritizing these short-term interventions that are going to save lives today.
Yeah. Wow. And it's so complex. There's so much information out there. You can't seem to decipher through it, actually. There's just so much. Most people are watching are Fox News and CNN, depending upon what political, right. you know, system you're, you know, connected with or believe in. But so you know, how does COVID-19 affect parents' ability to make healthcare decisions for their children?
Well, I think the good news for children's health, which is what we focus on, is that what we've seen globally so far is that children are least affected by the coronavirus crisis. You know, the mortality rates and even the illness rates among children are the least of the whole population. And the worst is for elderly people and people who have other health conditions that limit them. But what I fear, or what I'm concerned about, Bernadette, is because there's a lot of fascination and energy and money behind vaccines right now, and children are the most accessible mm-hmm. in terms of vaccine mandates. I'm very concerned that as soon as a trial candidate is said to be safe and effective, that it's going to be mandated around the country in different states for children. And I think that needs to be really looked at very, very carefully. I don't think that children are the highest at-risk group, and I don't think we're going to know enough by the time they come out with this vaccine if it's really going to be safe for children and mm-hmm. not have long-term health implications, side effects that are unanticipated. And one of my other concerns is that because this has been declared, COVID-19 has been declared a national health emergency, it kicks in a statute called the PREP Act. It's about biohazard preparedness, and it really gives even less liability to industry than what generally exists, which is wow. very, very little. So in other words, if somebody's injured because a vaccine was fast-tracked through, which is absolutely what's going to happen, there's nothing to be done if somebody becomes permanently injured, mm-hmm. lifelong injury or death. There's not going to be anybody who's going to be held accountable, not the doctors, not the industry, not the government officials who made the decision. So I do want parents to know you need to be very thoughtful. You need to use your own critical thinking skills before you sign on that your child or legislators in your state should say, oh, fabulous. We're going to go past COVID-19. Let's put in a mandate. We should be very, very thoughtful and cautious about that.
I couldn't agree more. Would you like to educate our listeners about the Vaccine Injury Act from 1986 that was put in place by President Reagan?
Yes. So Almost, so all of the vaccines on the childhood schedule that children get throughout the country now, and most states are requiring children to have between 30 and 50 vaccines to go to school, those are all federally recommended, and under this 1986 Act that you mentioned, Bernadette, you can't sue the healthcare providers or the company in the first instance. You go to what's called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Some people call it vaccine court. And two-thirds of cases lose in vaccine court, and since a decision by the Supreme Court in 2011, you can't sue the industry for what's called design defect. But as bad as that program is, out of that program, you can sue for fraud. And Children's Health Defense is involved in more than one lawsuit right now relating to fraud by industry. The PREP Act, which is where the COVID-19 vaccines would be legally, they don't even permit a window to sue for fraud. They basically say that unless you can prove willful misconduct and knowledge, unless you can prove that industry was purposefully engaged in gross negligence or criminal activity, there's no place you can sue. Mm-hmm. So truly, if there are mandates of COVID-19 under the PREP Act, which we will speak out against, there would be no recourse in the event that side effects were detected later that they didn't know at the time that it went to mass production. And right now, just to be clear with your listeners, Bill Gates, who's been deeply involved in vaccine production for many, many years, very focused on the possibility of pandemics, mm-hmm. he owns seven, or he's put financing behind seven factories for candidate vaccines against COVID. And the idea is that these factories are going to be able to put out billions of vaccines in a very short period of time. So we do know that there is enormous interest for some very prominent, heavy-hitting, financially backed players to mass produce and to have a lot of push behind COVID-19 vaccines when they're ready.
Well, and I'm reading right now, I got this actually last week from Nature Magazine, the International Journal of Science from March of 2020. And it's an article in here that says, don't rush to deploy COVID-19 vaccines and drugs. It's important not to cut corners. That's by Dr. Shibio Jiang. And I'm sure I butchered his name. Hopefully not. But he is a professor of virology at the School of Basic Medicine Sciences in Fudan University, Shanghai, China. But there's doctors that are saying we cannot do this, and yet here we are, you know, facing the possibilities of mandates being pushed on us.
We have to push back against that hard. And I think one of the silver linings to this pandemic, Bernadette, is that, as you know, there were efforts around the country to repeal religious exemptions and personal belief exemptions from vaccines and mm-hmm. efforts to tighten medical exemptions to make them virtually unavailable. And all of those efforts, almost all of those efforts, have come to a screeching halt because of this pandemic. And so the silver lining is that those laws, those changes did not go through to make nine-year-olds be able to say that they want a vaccine without their parental consent. Those laws or efforts, those bills have been temporarily stopped. But I do think that parents who are concerned about vaccine safety in general for their children and that their children may have had adverse effects that the medical profession is not taking seriously, those people need to be absolutely on alert about the possibility for COVID-19 mandates, because these mandates are truly going to be fast-tracked vaccines that some of the things they're looking at, they have never made vaccines before with this technology. The messenger RNA, which is the one that's in human trials already, there's not a single vaccine out there like that today. And they may even go forward without FDA approval, according to Dr. Paul Offit. So these are going to be really, really fast-tracked vaccines with virtually no liability. Mm-hmm. So parents need to be thinking about that now, because we know that these vaccines are going to be pushed extra hard.
Yeah. Well, you're staying with us, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Mary Holland. We're talking about COVID-19 and what we can learn from a pandemic. You're listening to One Life Radio. I lost the sea. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo. I have Mary Holland on the line. She serves as general counsel and vice chair of the board at Children's Health Defense. She also serves on several other health and educational boards. She recently left the faculty of New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master's of Arts and her Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked on international public and private law. She is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. You can find Mary at childrenshealthdefense.org. That's childrenshealthdefense.org. Okay, Mary, let's finish this up. Let me go to this. Can you share with us what the tabletop exercise was?
Right. So on our website, childrenshealthdefense.org, is an article that I recently wrote that I came upon that really struck me. And it was an exercise that was done in October by very high-level people, former government officials, and by people in industry, globally to some extent, China, the U.S., Nigeria, Germany. And it was 15 very high-level business executives and former government people and current government people, actually, from the CDC of China, the Nigeria, and the United States. And they were talking about a potential pandemic, and they were talking about a coronavirus epidemic. And they were postulating that it came from bats and that it went to pigs and that it started in Latin America. Hmm. But they played out this scenario over the course of a day, and in their very, you know, horrifying scenario, 65 million people die over the course of 18 months. And they finally come up with a vaccine, and then the vaccine saves the day.
Yeah.
But what was fascinating about it is, first of all, the timing was interesting. It was in October, the end of October, 2 months before the first case of coronavirus appeared in China. But what was even more really fascinating about it is that the very people who participated in this scenario and the financing behind it, it was financed in part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum then turned its scenario group into the COVID-19 platform of the World Economic Forum to work together with the World Health Organization.
Wow.
So these people that we can watch in 5 hours of video footage on the internet at something called Event 201 that was sponsored by the Johns Hopkins University, these are the very people who are now working hand in glove with the World Health Organization in ameliorating this crisis. And one of the things that we see very strongly is that they believe that they should be getting government money to finance this sort of shutdown. They are absolutely in favor of shutdowns, of travel, and of businesses and social distancing. And they are big advocates of what they call public-private partnerships, new forms of public-private partnership where presumably the private sector plays a much bigger role than it has in the past. And they talk about having things be on a war footing. And they also talk about how they plan to cope with what they call misinformation and disinformation. Mm. And they talk about flooding the information zone with trusted sources. And one of the people at the table is from a major global public relations firm. So one of the things that's just striking about it, Bernadette, is how accurate the advice and brain trust at this table is to what we are seeing today in real time in April. And so I do recommend that people watch it, and it helps to understand where we are and where we might go and what kind of thinking is really dealing with this crisis right now, at least at the global level. I'm not sure that what's happening in the U.S. or in any individual country mirrors this sort of global think tank. But you can see how people in very high places are thinking about how to deal with a pandemic by watching this tabletop exercise. And that term, Bernadette, was not one familiar to me, but apparently a tabletop exercise, that's the name of a war game, right? So this is a sort of
really?
Preparedness game, which countries do and they should do. I'm not disputing that that's very important. And so our government also did something called Crimson Contagion at around the same time. Governments absolutely have to do fire drills in the event that we have a pandemic.
Yeah.
What I found so enlightening about this video that you can see on the internet is, who are these people and how do they think and what's important to them in dealing with the crisis?
Can you tell us the name of the event again? It's called Event.
Yes, it's called Event 201.
Okay,
and
that's
if you
what
just put that into YouTube, you will see an 11-minute highlight video, but then you can watch 5 hours of video footage. And these are leaders of industry from around the world and a current person at the Centers for Disease Control, a former person from the CIA and the National Security Administration. So these are people who are worth listening to. We know that these actual voices or voices similar to them are advising the World Health Organization from the World Economic Forum. We know that. So it's a real window into sort of what are they seeing and what are they what's important to them.
Right. What can we learn from a pandemic?
Well, what can we learn from a pandemic? I think we can all sort of be introspective. We can all focus on how important life is to us and our friendships and our family, and we can use it on a personal level to have a much greater sense of gratitude for our everyday lives. I certainly am experiencing that. And we can sort of enjoy this quiet moment in otherwise our very, very busy lives. But what I focus on from a professional standpoint is that regardless of ideology or political party or anything like that, people who have plans on the shelf seek to exploit crises to get things done that they couldn't otherwise get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing. And there are a lot of big ticket actors in the world who have had plans on the shelf that they never thought they could get through, and they think now's their time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to be very thoughtful about what are these plans that are coming out right now about how we're not going to go back to normal, we're going to come back to a new normal, and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to really think, well, who's behind this? What are these plans? Is this something that we think is consonant both with our public health, but also with our individual rights and liberties, with our Constitution, with
mm-hmm.
human rights? I think those are really important questions because I think they may be portrayed as trade-offs. Well, we either have public health or you have individual rights. No, it doesn't work like that. It really doesn't work like that. The best way to protect the whole population is to make sure that people can protect their individual health and their individual rights. So we have to find a new balance, but I think we have to be very wary of those actors who've long had on the shelf plans for how to take advantage of the next crisis.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think all of this means for the future of crisis management?
Well, I think what we see is the people who have the plans on the shelf are the ones that really are in the best position to take the lead. And that's what I think Event 201 shows us. And I think what we see in this Event 201 scenario is, who are the people at the table? The people at the table are from government and big business. There are no legislators at the table. There are no small businesses at the table. There are no religious leaders at the table. There are no true civil society organizations at the table. And so I think the rest of us who are not at that table, who are not really directing the show, you know, we need to step up. We need to organize. We need to think. And we need to make sure that going forward, there are more seats at that table who are doing planning for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you also covered a story about U.S. autism rates are up 10% in a new CDC report. Can you expand on that?
Yes. So we cover children's health issues. And our focus at Children's Health Defense, where Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the chair, has been the chronic health conditions of American children. Over 54% of children have some kind of chronic mm-hmm. health condition. Mm-hmm. And autism is one of them. It's a very severe childhood condition that is a permanent. Most people with autism don't ever, they don't have the opportunity to find work. Typically, it costs about $2 million of care for a lifetime for someone with autism, over $2 million. And so what we're seeing right now is it's 1 in 54 children. It's 1 in 34 boys nationally. In some states, it's higher. In New Jersey, it's 1 in 20 boys. I mean, this is catastrophic levels of healthcare costs going forward, Bernadette. And in the COVID panic and frenzy, all of this information is getting completely lost. Mm-hmm. And as you know, one of the really important questions around autism that is marginalized by mainstream media but is very important to parents on the ground is, are vaccines playing some role in this? And mm-hmm. we know that there have been scientists within the CDC who have come forward and said, you know, the verdict isn't in. And in fact, our colleagues at the Informed Consent Action Network just received a decision from a federal court basically showing that there is virtually no science behind the CDC claim that vaccines don't cause autism. They have not done studies on the bulk of childhood vaccines and studying them for outcomes of autism. So it's particularly troubling in this time where the world seems to be, or at least the media seems to be, you know, anxiously awaiting this vaccine, that we still don't have answers to these very important basic questions of, is there any role for vaccines in autism in particular and in all of the other exploding childhood chronic conditions we see? Eczema, allergies, diabetes, ADHD, ADD. There are so many now common childhood chronic health conditions, and we really still don't have those mm-hmm. vaccinated versus unvaccinated studies. And so one of my concerns around this pandemic is it obscuring those really important questions that we still haven't gotten to the bottom of?
Yeah. Well, and you know, the vaccine industry is obviously a major player in this discussion, with it being a $60 billion industry. That's a lot of money.
No question. It's a very big player here. It's kind of behind the biotech companies that are really working on the prototypes for the vaccines, but any of these vaccines are essentially going to be picked up by the big vaccine manufacturers in the world, and they're Merck, Glaxo, Pfizer, and Sanofi Pasteur. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge market, and mandates are a big part of that market. So, and you know, these corporations have been behind the opioid epidemic. These corporations have been sanctioned with billions of dollars, over $35 billion mm-hmm. in civil and criminal fines in recent years. So we have reasons to be cautious here, very, very cautious.
Right.
These have not been the best actors out there, and yet they are leading the charge here.
Well, yeah, and according to the New York Times, there's a tremendous amount of conflict of interest, too, between these manufacturers and organizations that are promoting the use of such products.
There are huge conflicts of interest here. And I think, you know, when we use the term public-private partnerships, well, what does that really mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that the government is in some way allied with commercial interests. To think that those commercial interests don't influence decision-making is crazy. And that's, I think, you know, part of what we were suggesting with the therapeutics versus vaccines. Vaccines are patentable. New mm-hmm. drugs are patentable. Mm-hmm. People make money off of them.
Right.
Using intravenous vitamin C, chloroquine, zinc, other sort of simple remedies, nobody makes a lot of money on that.
But
that may be in the public interest. And so it's very dangerous when we have these public-private partnerships where, you know, commercial interests get to put their hand on one side of the scale.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. And there's definitely some changes that need to be made. Anything you want to, any final thoughts that we'd like to get out to our listeners before we go to break?
If listeners find this interesting, please go to the Children's Health Defense website and you can sign up for free as a member and you can get newsletters for free. And it helps us to build our base. And we put out really high quality, well-referenced information every week.
I appreciate you so much and all the work that you do. Mary
thank
Holland.
Thank you so much, Bernadette.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really, seriously, you're doing a tremendous amount of work to help all of America and the world, I might add. And thank you so much for it.
My pleasure.
All right. You guys, you can find Mary Holland at childrenshealthdefense.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have Mo Brosette on the line. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation here in Dallas, Texas. The Adaptive Training Foundation is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. Through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional and mental pain, fear and self-doubt. He is a corporate speaker on fear and human potential, where he teaches companies and individuals how to achieve professional and personal goals, overcome limiting beliefs, and use fear as your greatest tool for success. His website is brosetteperformance.com. That's brosetteperformance.com. On Instagram at brosette_performance_coaching, if you can remember all that. And welcome, Mo Brosette. Always great to have you on the air. Kind of weird to not have you in studio with me. How are you doing?
I know. It's kind of odd. I'm used to being right there and feeding off your energy.
I know. Well, I've got a lot of it today. I'm on fire, just trying to, you know, put out good information and lift everyone through this very dark and difficult time that we're going through as a world, as a nation. And I can't think of a better person to lift us up than you, Mo Brosette. So let's talk about this. The importance of patience. I've been having to practice myself and more patience right now than I ever have than any time in my life. I'm going through a family crisis. I'm going through a crisis in another area of my life as well. And patience is a big part of getting through this, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And it's, again, look, it's all back, goes back to your perspective, your perception, and your language. You know, I mentioned to you guys before, when I do my talks, I show a picture of a chair. And I ask the audience, what is this? And like, well, it's a chair. I'm like, sure it is. But if I stand on it, what is it? It's a stool. If I pick it up and hit you with it, what is it? It's a weapon. If I put it on a pedestal and put a light on it, what is it? It's a piece of art. So, you know, this whole thing, yes. Is it challenging? Sure. Can it be dark and difficult? If you choose to let it be, It can also be a great thing. And it could be an opportunity for, number one, our planet to heal, which it is. Number two, us to create these situations and a habit of being that we always want. I mean, I want you to think about this. How many times have you said, and everybody listening has said, man, if I just had another 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't have the time. I just wish I had time.
Yeah.
Well, guess what we have now? Now we have all that time, you know, and the importance of being patient with all of this is you have the ability now to do all those things that you never have time to do before, where you said, if I just had another 24 hours,
right,
I could do these things. So, you know, we have to, we've all been given the, now we're stay at home until May 20th. What happens? The moment you hear that, our thought typically translates into, oh my God, I can't fill in the blank. I'm not able to fill in the blank. We don't see that. This is another opportunity for us to just sit back, be patient, let this thing run its course, don't run out. We don't have to fill our time with busyness. We need to be still. We need to learn to be still. We need to learn to do the thing that we wish we had time for every other day of our adult lives.
Absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there suffering, Mo. There really are. What do you say to the person who really has no money for their next meal? What do you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenging part. That is the resilience. That's the tough part. Yes, it's going to be hard. What can we do in that situation? What I would tell the person is, with all of your strength and might, focus on what you can do, what you are able to do. Are you able to ask a friend? Are you able to reach out for help in this situation? Are you able to fill out that government loan for a small business loan, even if you aren't a small business? There are multiple ways where we can do things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I was speaking with a friend yesterday that lives in the UK, and she said that the doctors that are in the UK, there's a food shortage because they're not getting the stores and the companies aren't the transit is not the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So these places aren't getting the food. So you have the doctors and the nurses that are working in the hospitals that aren't eating for 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
But they're still
brutal.
Working.
That's so, brutal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So to that person, like, okay, what can we do? Right. Number one. And listen, I'm being empathetic when I say this, but this is a needs versus wants thing. We can survive without food for weeks.
Yeah.
You can survive for food for almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, if there's a way to do this, you can try to create change, try to be patient, allow yourself, especially if you don't know where your next meal is, to be still, to create, to think. Is it hard? Absolutely, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge.
Yeah. I was going to ask Ronaldo what his thoughts are about this. You know, have you found yourself having to exercise an incredible amount of patience? I'm guessing the question or the answer is yes, most definitely, right?
Of course. But I think it's most of all perseverance and just sticking with it. I mean, it's really a mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to stick to more of the positive because I've seen the negative not work.
Mm-hmm.
So just stick more to the positive, and that's how I tend to get through it.
Yeah, and that's great advice. It really is. So, you know, speaking of advice, what is your advice, Mo, for those who may be feeling trapped and anxious during this quarantine?
So, number one, you're not trapped. You can walk outside. If you have a home with a yard, you have a backyard, you have a front yard, you have a driveway, you have multiple rooms in your home, you can go outside. And actually, I had this conversation with two humans this morning.
Two humans?
Yeah. And number one is, and this is what we talked about before, is as far as like create a schedule. Create a daily schedule. Even though you don't have to be anywhere, maybe.
Yeah.
What time are you going to wake up? What is the first thing you do? The first thing you do is you breathe, you meditate, you focus on yourself. You move a little bit. You do some sort of exercise. Maybe you make some coffee. You make some tea. But I'll tell you, I'm going to read you what I wrote to these two humans this morning. All right, and one of them was about food, because he was like, you know, I'm not able to get the quality of food that I got, and so we made this thing last night, and my wife and son just didn't even finish it. It just didn't taste right, so they stopped.
Wow.
Right. And I said,
that's entitlement.
They threw away food.
Yeah,
right?
That's not cool.
I said to him, there's an opportunity for growth mindset here as well.
Uh-huh.
If when something is, tastes, or seems off, that doesn't make it bad. Mm-hmm. Allow it to be different without judgment, without anger, without resentment.
Well, and go ahead. It's so hard to communicate. You and I are so used to being in the same room together. But continue your thought. I apologize.
Well, when we get in our heads, we make unhealthy choices. We create unhealthy thoughts, and we create a mindset of scarcity. Everything you have is perfect. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have what you have is just as it should be. Be grateful, be patient, be resourceful,
mm-hmm.
and create abundance with what you have.
Yeah, and you know, we should live like that every day anyway, whether there's a crisis, an international crisis. You know, I was raised, and I go back to this, and the one thing I loved about my mom and dad, like, we were not allowed to waste anything. It's an entitlement to do that, an entitlement mentality. We shouldn't be wasting anything, especially when there's under any circumstance, but certainly not under this circumstance, and certainly not when there are people all over the world that don't even know where their next meal is coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there it could, you know, that's the thing. That's a saying that we have here, right? It could always be worse. Well, and it could
absolutely.
Be. We're very blessed. We're very grateful, and we're allowed to be in this circumstance. Like, you know, we can go to the store still. We can go get groceries. Are they the things that we might typically get? Maybe not. However, that's an opportunity for us to try it in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is kind of forcing us to get out of our box, both in the mental sense and in the physical sense. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's making us to be able to, you know, there's a great quote that I read that I heard from the documentary called Inner Worlds, Outer Worlds. And it says, when in our stillness lies our greatest power.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can be still, again, we're told that we can't move until we can't go outside. We can't do these things until May 20th. Great. Be still, learn something, journal, read a book, mm-hmm. write. You know, there are so many things that we can do. And I understand that when you have a family, when you're trying to work at the same time, yes, those can be hectic. However, mm-hmm. that is a time for us to reflect and practice this resilience, practice the patience.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I have to share a little personal story and then we'll go to break. You know, the teenage years are very tough. And my teenage daughter and I have reconnected again. And we feel closer than ever. And it's been such a blessing because, you know, when you're a mom, you miss those moments with your babies. You do. And I got it back. So I'm thankful for that and so many things, other things. But we're going to go to break. More coming up with Mo Brossette. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Song, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We've only got like 2 or 3 minutes, Mo. Well, about 3.5 maybe, but I want to quickly just thank our sponsors. You know, they're the ones that bring this programming to you, and I encourage you to support them. Great companies like Sun Warrior. Go to Sun Warrior. All of them pretty much have codes OLR for a discount. Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, Wild Foods, Ned CBD. That's what I use now. I use it every single morning. Check them out at helloned.com. And Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorne Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast anytime or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go right to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. Encourage your friends to listen as well. You heard the great content from Mo Brossette and Mary Holland. We have such incredible content here in One Life Radio. So, Mo, and you're a big part of that. You've been a regular on the show now for almost a year, and you're the health and fitness. You've been in the health and fitness industry for 24 years. So give us some of your best advice here. You know, what do you want us to know in these final 2 minutes that we have to talk on the radio? Yeah, I'll be clear about that. Yeah.
Right. Guys, really, again, look, it's be patient. And really focusing and encouraging everyone listening to rethink your language and the self-talk that you use. So wherever you are right now, focus on what you can do. I'm going to continue to say that every time on the show because it's so important. Focus on what you are able to create. Focus on what you do have. Be still. And when you are still, you are able to see life as it is. You're able to see everything. When you close down your mind and stop thinking about all the things that you should be doing and aren't able to do, and you focus on what you can do, what you do have, you're able to see the reality as it is.
You're
able to create. So be patient, be kind to one another, support one another, and we will all get through this and we'll be better because of it.
Amen, brother. Fist pump going out to you over the airways. Can't wait to have you back on the show and in the studio. Thank you so much, Mo Brossette. You can find him on Instagram at Brossette Performance Coaching or his website, brossetteperformance.com. Everyone, let's get through these times together. And we'll be live again tomorrow. If you feel inclined to call us, 214-787 is that number. I'll put it out again throughout the week. And we just want to hear from you. We really do. It's a great feeling to connect with with your listeners. I know Ronaldo would agree with that. And we just want to wish you well. Stay strong. We'll all stay strong together and stay positive. And after all, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and live it well and be contagiously positive.